Greetings and welcome back to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts broadcast during the week in which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and it's my honor to be studying the second half of Sefer Shmot with you. We are currently studying Parashat Ki Tisa, and this is our fourth podcast. We are coming to the conclusion of the Egel narrative, although, truth to tell, there are yet, shall we say, cleanup pieces that we will deal with all the way through Parashat Ki Tisa. We are now in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yod Bet, having heard about Moshe's taking his tent and putting it outside of the Machaneh, and everybody watching as Moshe would go to the tent, and the cloud would come over the tent, and Hashem would speak to Moshe, and everybody then would bow towards the tent, prostrating themselves, in a sense, recognizing the inaccessibility of an image, as opposed to the egel that they had fashioned and had adored, and now are paying the price for. Pasuk Yod Bet. We have in front of us two short parashot mesorah, two short masoretic paragraphs. We'll deal with them in this podcast. They are Pasuk Yod Bet through Tet Zayin in Perek Lamed Gimel, and then Pasuk Yod Zayin till the end of the Perek, which is Pasuk Chaf Gimel. And we will together look at those key psukim, which continue the dialogue between Moshe and Hashem. And what is fascinating about the whole narrative of the Egel is that there is an ongoing dialogue between Hashem and Moshe, and there are lots of subtle points in that dialogue. We pointed some of them out along the way that really speak to not only their relationship, but something of the tussle between them, as it were, and it's a little bit hard to say that in reference to Hashem, but something of the tussle between them in reference to the entire epic of the Exodus and enterprise of the Exodus. And going back to the first time that Hashem speaks to Moshe at the Sneh, and Moshe's refusal to go, as to whether this redemption is to be a divine redemption or a human redemption. And we find here that Moshe speaks to Hashem, but you took the people out of Mitzrayim. And Hashem turns around and says, no, you took the people out of Mitzrayim, and they're your people, and here's your responsibility. And it goes back and forth. And that continues here after Hashem has told him that he's not going to be among the people. There's a malach, but it's for their own good, because if he is with the people, then he will get angry and he'll destroy them. Pasuk Yod Bet. And as promised, and we'll do that in this podcast, because we have a relatively short amount of psukim, discuss the significance of the egel as an image. V'yomer Moshe el Adonai. So Moshe now speaks to Hashem. Re'ei. Now this is a command. See. Ata omer elai, ha'al ata mazeh, v'ata lo hodalatani et asher tishlach imi. V'ata amarte idaticha b'shem, v'gam matzat achein b'einai. Moshe is presenting an unfairness and something of an inherent contradiction to Hashem about Hashem's own words. He said, Re'ei, ata omer elai, you're telling me, ha'al ata mazeh, take this people up. Remember, he said, kum alei, ata va'am, get up from this, galimizeh, get up from this. So it's alei, ha'al ata mazeh, va'ata lo hodatani, you haven't let me know what you're going to send with me. Now remember, Hashem said, I'm going to send a malach. But as the Sforner points out, I'm going to send a malach, that's talking about the conquest of the land. Moshe says, yeah, but what about the rest of the desert experience? We had a cloud, we had a pillar. That's not going to go with us? And now further, he says, V'ata amarta idaticha b'shem, v'gam matzata chen b'einai. And this follows, by the way, a common biblical trope that arguments are presented with three prongs. We heard it earlier that Moshe pleaded for the nation not to be destroyed and had a three-pronged argument to it. There's a three-pronged argument here, too, if we take a look carefully. The first thing is that, Hashem, you told me to take the people out. And that means it's my job to take them out. And yet you didn't tell me what part you're going to help with. So then I get to call that shot and I get to make the demand I'm about to make. Second, ata marte daticha v'shem, you told me that you recognize me. Va'idacha v'shem, you said. which means you favor me, you grant me that favor, you have a special relationship with me, which means I'm now in a position to make this demand. And this third thing is, Gam matzata chen b'enai. You told me that I found favor in your eyes. Not the same thing as Ticha B'Shem. You know, Ticha B'Shem seems to be a statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirming somebody's august position. Where did we hear it earlier? Re'u kara Adonai B'Shem, B'Tzalel ben Uri ben Hur, the Matei Yehuda. Hashem has identified B'Tzalel and Aliyav and his team as being the expert artisans who are going to build the Mishkan. Here Hashem has recognized who Moshe is. That's on an objective level. Second, matzat lachem b'enai. I found favor in your eyes, which is now an emotional kind of thing. So there's three components to this argument. We find this throughout Tanakh. In Shoftim Yer Aleph, when Yiftach has his argument in responding to Nachash, Melech Amon's claim about land, has three arguments. One is, with three components to the argument. One component is that Hashem gave us this land. Your God gave you your land. You keep that. Second thing is that where have you been for all of these years? Right? 300 years that we've been in this land. Nobody said anything. And if you take a look there, you can see that there are three, and it's a common thing in Tanakh, that there's three components to the argument. Not in every case, but usually we can identify them that way. And so now Moshe has presented his argument, three prongs, and now his demand. Ve'ata, im na matzati chen b'enecha, if it's true that you favor me, hodieni na et derachecha. First of all, show me your way. Tell me your way. In this case, seems to be, ata lo hodatani, so hodieni na, tell me how you're going to lead us. Ve'edacha, and then I will understand you, and I'll find even more favor in your eyes. Because you love me, you're going to show me what you're about, I'll understand you, and I'll become even closer to you. And then I'm going to present this to you. And then you will see the following. This nation is your nation. Because throughout, what has Hashem been saying? Your nation to Moshe. Moshe's statement back, if you really favor me, you really love me, then you'll also take a look and recognize that this is your nation. So Hashem accedes. And by the way, continually, except with one major exception, Hashem accedes to Moshe. One exception, of course, is Vatchanan. He does not let Moshe come into the land. Vayomar, panay elechu v'anichoti lach. He says, my face will go, meaning I will go with you, and I will leave you be. Now, Moshe takes it one step further. So I will be with you. Sounds like I'm not abandoning you. Moshe then says, Vayomer Elav, im ein panecha holchim, al ta'aleinu mizeh. If your face doesn't go with you, with us, then don't take us out of this. Because let's look at the words. What did Hashem say to Moshe? Ha'ale mizeh, get up out of this situation. Moshe says, no, don't take us out of this situation if you're not going to come along with us. And then he uses yet another argument for why Hashem has to come with him, which is, uvameh yivada'ifo, ki matzati chen b'necha nivamecha. And notice how beautifully Moshe blends these. We're all on board that Hashem finds Moshe favorable. Moshe's found favor in Hashem's eyes. Moshe then turns around and says, I'm part of a nation. This is your nation. So then what does Moshe say? How indeed, Efo, indeed, will it be known that I and this nation of yours have found favor in your eyes? Halo, b'lechtecha imanu, isn't it with your walking with us? So it's not just showing your favor, it's actually going with us. Which means we're going to go back to the original relationship we had, which is you're going to lead us with the cloud, with the pillar, with the fire, all the way through the desert. And not only that, I and your nation are going to be separated, distinct, from every other nation. In other words, by your showing that in spite of the nation's rebellion against you, and the nation's bad behavior, and wayward traits, and stiff-necked character, nonetheless, you stay with us, you put your presence among us so that everybody will see it, then everybody will know that we're a special nation. That's how they'll know it. What's Hashem's answer? Hashem answers Moshe as he always does, just about. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, gam et hadavar hazeh asher dibarta easeh. So first of all, I'm not going to destroy them. That goes back. Second of all, I'm not going to abandon them. And now the third piece, even this that you said I'm going to do. Why? Ki matzata chein be'inai va'edacha b'shem. And Hashem here confirms the two components of Moshe's argument from earlier. You have favor in my eyes, and I've recognized you by name. But notice, you, not the nation, but because you, representing the nation, are making this request, I will grant it to you, which is, I will do what you've asked, which means I'm going to go with you. Moshe now pushes a little bit further. Vayomar, hareini na et kavodecha. Show me now your glory. It says, Moshe is saying, in order to demonstrate and give a sign that you're really going to be with us, I want now to see your glory. You have to remember that we were at Har Sinai, the same location, maybe a year and a half earlier or less, and Moshe had a chance to see God, and Moshe turned away. Very famous dialogue Chazal have here, that Kshiratziti, Lo Atzita, Hashem says, I wanted to show myself to you, and you didn't want to see me. Back at the snare, Achshav Shata Rotze, Neni Rotze. Now you want to see me? No, I'm not going to. Which, by the way, takes the whole Shuri model of the unrequited love and the unrealized relationship between here, not between Hashem and Israel, but Hashem and Moshe. And Moshe says, I want to see you. And what does Hashem say? Vayomer, Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Aparecha. All of my goodness will go in front of you. But watch, v'karati v'shem Adonai lefanecha. I will call out in my name. And what will I do? V'chanoti et asher achon v'chamti et asher achem. I'm going to give grace to the one I'll give grace to, and I will give compassion to the one I will give compassion to. Here we are at Har Sinai again, hearing another version of those words when Moshe made a demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, I need to know your name. And what did Hashem say? Ehyeh asher ehyeh. I am that I am. And he says the same thing here. I can give compassion to the one I give compassion to. It is what it is. I am what I am. And Moshe had said, please teach me your ways. Show me your ways. He said, I'm not going to show you your ways. I am how I am. And then he answers Moshe's other request. You can't see my face. Why? No man can see me and still live. Which, by the way, connects back to the early point that Hashem says, I can't be among you, because if I am, I'll end up killing the nation. So at least on a more concentrated notion, this still exists. You can't look at me. If you look at me, you can't live. But I'm going to have my glory pass in front of you. So how do we put those two together? Vayomer Adonai, hine makom iti. Here's a place with me. V'nitzavta al hatzur. And you should stand on top of the tzur. Which is the tzur? It sounds like the same tzur that Moshe hit and brought water from. Hatzur, the boulder. To stand on top of the boulder, or next to the boulder. That boulder back in Perek Yud Zayin. Vayam ba'avor kvodi. Remember he said, I'm going to pass in front of you. V'samticha b'nikrat hatzur. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. V'sakoticha pi alecha arovri. And I will cover my hand over you until I pass. So imagine this closeness. You can't see me. If you see me, you'll die. But I'm going to use my own hand to protect you so you can't see me, as I put you in the cleft of the rock until I pass. And then I'll take my hand away. Whatever this all means. Clearly it's meant on a mystical, metaphysical level. Vasiroti et kapi, I will take my hand away. Vera'it et achorai, you'll be able to see my back. Ufanai lo yerug, you won't be able to see my front. Now clearly this must be in some metaphoric sense. God has a front and a back. Although Chazal famously say that Hashem wears tefillin, and he showed him the kesher shel tefillin in the back. In any case, this is really the end of the forgiveness component. And Hashem has promised that he's now going to lead the people as he did before, recognizing Moshe. Moshe pushes it further and makes a request. And the request is almost completely granted. One postscript to this particular podcast, because we're pretty much at the end of the narrative of the Egel, is why an Egel. So Rav Amram Bazak, in a beautiful shiur he wrote a number of years ago, in suggesting why it is that Bnei Yisrael ended up favoring an Egel and were responsive to the call, Eile Elohecha Yisrael Asher Lucha Meretz Yitzrayim. This is your God who took you out of Mitzrayim. So we have to remember that at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, there is a line that Bnei Yisrael vayiru et Elohim. It's not about all of Bnei Yisrael, it's about the Zekinim. But they saw God, they saw Etzem HaShemayim HaTorah, the beauty of heaven, the sky open, however we understand it, and they saw the sapphire-laden piece underneath Hashem's throne. Whatever it is, they saw Marot Elohim, they saw visions of God. We open up Yechezkel Perek Aleph, and there's a very famous description of a vision of God that Yechezkel has that involves a heavenly chariot, the Merkava. And the Merkava has different images on each side. On one side, an Adam, on one side, an Aryeh, a lion, on one side, a Nesher, which is an eagle, and on one side, a shore, an ox. In a parallel vision in Perek Yod of Yechezkel, you have again the Merkava with an Adam, an Aryeh, a Nesher, and a Kruv. So by simple substitution, it sounds like Kruv is another name for a shore. And in that same vision, it says that there are Kruvim on all sides. Which means, just based on looking at that, that what did Yechezkel see? He saw a chariot with images of oxen on all sides. And it seems to fit because, at least partially, because in Aramaic, the word for plowing, which is the chief use of cows and oxen in Tanakh, is most meat came from the ovines, was is kravya, is plowing. And so Bazak suggests that what the people saw when they saw these visions of heaven is a chariot that are images of an ox. And if that's the case, then even though they originally came to Aharon, this is not what Bazak says, even though they originally came to Aharon and said they want a leader, a human leader, Aharon instead went to the molten image that was really an image of what they saw in heaven. And therefore, it was reasonable to say, Elohecha Yisrael Shaluch HaMeretz Yitzrayim. And indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of confirmed it when he said, you make an Aron, and on top of the Aron is a Kaporet, and the Kaporet, out of the Kaporet, come two Kruvim. The Kruvim have wings, but the Kruvim look like oxen. And I speak to you from between them. That's the image of the heavenly chariot. Makes a lot of sense. We now understand why Yeravam ben Nevat in Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Bet, builds the two Mikdashim, one in his southern border, one in his northern border, one in Beit El, and one all the way up at Dan. And each one of them has an Egel Zahav. And he says, Elohecha Yisrael, and the people go for it. And as a teacher of mine, Rav Zev Ehrlich, everybody knows him as Jabbo, suggested, beautiful idea. He said that what Yeravam ben Nevat was saying was that the Mishkan had a very small sanctified space between the Kruvim. That's where Hashem speaks to them. Yeravam ben Nevat was making his entire country sanctified space. A Kruv on each side, everything in the middle, sanctified space. That was his position. Of course, he was wrong, and the essential wrongness of the Egel lies in the fact that it was a golden image. Maybe the image is correct, maybe the gold is correct, but it was an image that God did not command. God commanded us to avoid making images of gold and silver. If God then commands, make this image of gold, make that image of gold, that we're supposed to do. And so the images that we're commanded to do, that's our way of worshiping Hashem. But for us to determine on our own, we've got a different way of worshiping Hashem, based on what we saw, based on what we experienced, based on what nations around us do. And to take that, that already becomes a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why, and we'll see it in Parshat Pekudei, at the end of the whole narrative of the Mishkan, as the Mishkan is being constructed, every parasha ends with the key phrase, which is, Kasher Tziva Adonai Moshe. They did it exactly the way Hashem commanded. The way we build a Mishkan for God is not by appropriating for ourselves what we think is going to look best, but rather by doing it the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us. We'll pick it up in the next podcast at the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.